Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
And we are live, episode 209, Better on Draft podcast. I'm a little low. There we go. We are live in studio, and we are having a great day. It is the end of the month. Usually, we've been taking off the last week of the month, but we've got a big thing. We got the March Draftness coming up starting this weekend, as this show will be actually posted on Friday night. But if you're going to Better on Draft on Facebook after Saturday at noon, you're going to be able to see all 32 contests, including one that involves our guest today. But before we get to our guest, let's go around the table real quick. Nicholas.
I'm back.
You are. Hello. How are you?
February's been quite a month, man. I'm doing good. I'm glad it's over.
Was it a dry February for you?
No.
Slightly damp.
Slightly damp.
A damp January. Damp February.
Now, I got reason to celebrate. Excuse me. Reason to celebrate and drink tonight.
You're here with us. That's always a reason to celebrate.
Well, I'm also in process of buying a house.
Woo! Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
So you're going to have two houses at this point,
aren't you? Potentially.
Yeah.
But we actually are in process of selling.
That's what happened when I bought my house. I actually bought the person's house, and 2 hours later, they sold the house. So they used the same title company and everything. So they literally they bought the house, sold the house to me. 2 hours later, came back and bought whatever house they bought. So what are you drinking for us? What'd you bring for us?
I brought 2018 variants of Stone Woot Stout and Quadruple Barrel Big Bad Baptist. Bringing out the heavy hitters.
I was going to say, you bring the heavy hitters every week?
Every week.
And you happen to always open every one, and you just got to like slow down a little bit.
We got time.
As you can see, we got time.
I know, but I too need to clear out the house before we move.
Yeah, I was telling you before the show. I try to get us a drink before you have to move it.
I still got to get that 3-year-old... hop slam to you guys.
You know what? You can just keep that.
No, that's coming, man. No. It's coming.
1 year was good enough.
No, that was 2.5. That was 2 years.
No, the 2.5 was bad. The 1 year was good for me.
Oh. But we got to do 3 year.
No.
Yes. Just,
we're done.
It's going to happen. It's happening.
If I have to drink that, you have to drink the Coco Shandy that's been sitting in my fridge since Matt bought it like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, wait, you still have it?
Yes, I do.
How long ago was that?
At least a year and a half. I'm pretty sure it involved us betting on Lions games.
Was it Lions games or was it a WrestleMania, Royal Rumble?
Couldn't tell you, but I'm pretty sure it was a Lions game.
I thought it was Royal Rumble.
But Rob, what's going on?
You know, speaking of wrestling, I just started watching AEW.
And isn't it great?
I'm kind of getting hooked. My wife is not happy about that. We'll see.
And it's better than Goldberg crushing Bray Wyatt yesterday in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
70 seconds, I think, that match last night.
But I mean, other than that, Barry Sanders 2020.
I did see that. That was so funny. What are you drinking over there?
Right now, I'm drinking the Puesta del Sol, a Vienna lager from Weldworks. Also, pretty much just kind of slightly, I guess, in the spirit of Flagship February, I finally started bringing stuff that is not usually the normal of things that I bring. So I did bring the Vienna lager. I brought the Toppling Goliath Dorothy's New World lager, Anchorage Hell Trinken, which is their Helles lager. And I definitely feel like I brought a treat tonight because I brought from the Ferndale Project their coffee cider, which is amazing.
Oh.
So.
You already had it before you brought it for us.
Oh, hell yes, I did.
You knew that was going to happen.
I was
you
there.
You wanted to make sure it lived up to the standards of the hype that I believed it was going to be?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I was there yesterday. It's like now I have a new brewery in the rotation as the girls are in their dance class. Is that I jump between three different places, and you know, I went there last night, and I saw it on the menu. I was like getting a flight and just like ordered the beers, and then just flipped over the menu just because I didn't think there was anything on the other side. But sure enough, there was a cider, and like, oh, wait a minute, the coffee cider's on? She's like, Yeah, it's like, you want to change something? Like, fuck yeah, I want to change something. Take that one out, put that one in there. And then I had it. It was amazing. I was done. And I was getting ready to leave and go get the girls. I went to the restroom and I was like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. Just as I started to walk out, I see the refrigerator and it has cans. And I'm like, oh man, it better not be in there. And I went over there and just like going through the rows and looking. I was like, okay, it's not it. Fuck, it's right there. It's at the bottom. Yeah, I'm going to grab for them. So thought I would bring one in. Have you guys try it, see what you think, and I mean, I'm kind of feeling like it is definitely Cellarman's level as far as my enjoyment. I really enjoyed the one from Cellarman's, Rest in Hops, but this one, I think, I'm not sure. I'm kind of feeling like it tops it.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Bold ass statement there.
It is.
Well, last but not least, Wendy, you are probably the now officially the second longest female host we've had on the show.
Fantastic.
Beating out all the others that have stayed for one or two episodes.
Is that why my name's not in the promo yet?
No, that just takes me a long time. Okay. Let's be honest. It was a long time for Rob. It was a long time for Matt. A long time for Angela, so it'll happen within the next month or two.
Okay.
Usually I like to wait a few weeks before, you know, just in case.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. You go back to some of those older episodes and just the improvisation of throwing and Rob. So it's just give it some time. It'll be there.
Well, what are you drinking over there?
I have the Rockford Brewing Company's Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli.
Yep. I'm an 80s girl, so I had try that.
Girl, you know it's true.
I think it's
true. You can't be vanilla 2 days straight. I'll stop.
Yeah.
So the vanilla is really nice, and it's not too sweet. It's a good mix. I like it.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I didn't even pour myself a beer. I was too busy catching up with my my friend here and our guest Carrie from Brooks. How you doing today?
Very good. Glad to be here. I actually get the opportunity to see Rob on a regular basis. I think our new location's in his regular rotation.
It is.
It's a pleasure to have you, and we are thankful for your patronage.
I'm glad to be there. I was. I was there. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And I believe you guys have, I think it's an old ale.
Yeah. The Methuselah.
Methuselah. Yeah. That one. Man, I knew I was going to say that wrong. I had that sucker and I remember telling your wait staff that was a much better version of, Santa Grand Rapids better half.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I thought just like the molasses that came off of that, everything, just like the flavor was perfect.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was really, really good.
We aged that one in a barrel in 2016, and I've been missing the barrel aged myself. I got to get some barrel. I got to get some barrels back in and get that stuff in barrel, because when it was aged in a Four Roses whiskey or bourbon barrel, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. And like, I had that one, and I was mad because then I had to get up and go get the girls and get them from dance classes. Like, damn it, I wish I could have another one. But then it's also like 9%+. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, 9.69. Yeah,
it's like no, I can't do that.
I would be willing to bet that if you like the old ale that much, if you haven't ever had our Doppelbach, I brought one of those. It's not a beer that we put in the bottle, but I have access to some stuff that we don't normally do. So I brought some Doppelbach. It's
nice.
Funny, I was going to
close
Doppelbach during the news.
Yeah, you brought three lagers. So
yeah,
this is a lager as well. A Doppelbach is a lager. So
nice.
Might as well put it in your lineup.
Well, right, before we catch up with everything that's happened, because it has been years since you've been here. You were in your first year. You're now in your fifth.
Yeah, almost fifth.
Almost
four and a half, yeah.
We do have a question, or not a question, but a statement, and I'd love to hear your opinion.
Uh-oh. Already?
So we were talking about aging Hop Slam and, you know, beers you shouldn't age, but this one I think might be a little bit different. So Elise, who's in the chat, says that she has a 2-year bottle of Fruitful Fort, which is from Dogfish Head, which is like a fruit and field beer.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's going to be bad after 2 years? Or I mean, it's not an IPA, it's not a beer that's supposed, like, I'd feel bad for almost like a re-fermentation
by fruit and field. Is it insinuating that it's like a farmhouse ale, a fruited farmhouse, or like.
So it is rated as fruit and field by Beer Advocate. Take it for what it is. Fruit beer is made with fruit or fruit extracts that are adding during any process, providing obvious yet harmonious fruit qualities. The idea expanded to field beers to utilize vegetables and herbs. So basically, this is a fruit and vegetable salad because hops are a vegetable. So this is a beer salad.
Yeah. I would, from a technical standpoint, I would say that it's going to depend heavily on the bottling line cleanliness and handling of that product before it was packaged. And then if the fruit or the beer was sorbated before the fruit was added to the beer to kill any live yeast or bacteria before the fruit was added.
So at bottling, this ranks at 18%.
Jesus Christ.
That's going to help its shelf stability as well. But, if it's been refrigerated, that makes a big difference as well. You know, fruit, even after being sorbated and even pasteurized, I doubt it's pasteurized, but even if it was, fruit only lasts so long. I don't know if 18% is enough to, I mean, even then, the fruit's probably going to drop out of suspension.
Well, there you have it, Elise. She said she was scared to try it, but you know what? What's the worst? I had one of the old hosts, who you probably met the first time you're out here, Dan, who's over in Phoenix, they had at this bar an Abyss vertical. The years were 2006, 2007, and 2008. You could only get the 2006 in draft, but you could crawler home the 2007 and 2008. So I don't know how that's going to hold up after 12 to 13 years worth of aging, but I could not do it. You guys, since the last time you were here, you opened up another brewery.
We did.
Are you brewing at that facility or just transferring beer?
So we have brewed at that facility. We've done about 4 batches, and we've done those batches using the Kivik yeast, which is a rage now in some styles, because we don't have fermentation temperature control in Ferndale yet. So we have brewed there. And then the other thing is that in Ferndale, that's a 3-barrel system. And in Shelby, we have a 7.5-barrel system. So it is a functional brew house in Ferndale, but for my 8 hours of work and effort, I can either make 7.5 barrels of beer or 3 barrels of beer. And our production capacity in Shelby Township is almost 2,000 barrels a year. We're not even close to that yet. So it's more of a thing. We're able to brew there. We want to brew there. We set up that brew house for, you know, smaller experimentation batches. But right now, the demand for our mainline products is high enough that that's our focus right now. And if I'm going to spend 8 hours making beer, I might as well make twice as much on our bigger system.
Mm. Well, speaking of a mainline product, let's crack one open right now and get to trying. Why don't you choose something and we'll start passing it
so
around?
So we can open all 3 of what I brought. I did our highest distributing beer on the outside of the tap room. I guess you could call it our flagship is Peanut Buddy Porter.
It is flagship February. So
actually, when I was here 4 or 5 years ago, Rob introduced me to Jaden James.
Monkey Butter.
Yeah. And it was like a new thing to me. And I was like, wow, this is really good. I kind of want to try to make something like this, except for I wanted it to be a little bit lighter body and a little bit easy drinking. And the birth of Peanut Buddy Porter was probably a week after my first podcast visit. And today it is our number one distributed beer around Metro Detroit.
Nice.
That is awesome.
So do we get royalties for that? Or
I think it's in the small print.
Oh, okay. do you actually remember what you brought for us when you came the first time?
I do know that what I brought was on the I brought some stuff on the lighter end because that's typically what I drink. I drink more closer to the beers that Rob's got lined up in front of him. I typically go towards the lagers because I'm exposed
probably
to
just
beer.
Crack open another bottle, by the way.
Every single day. So I typically go towards the lighter stuff. And I witnessed Nick and Rob and you, Ken, drinking these 12 and 13%ers. And I was thinking to myself, man, I really should have brought some Russian Imperial Stout or some of our Doppelbock or some of our Old Ale or some of our Scottish Wee Heavy.
Or the triple.
Your
triple's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, we actually, I have the list because we keep track of all the beers that we had. And you brought us Obelette.
Yeah, the Russian Imperial Stout.
Yep. Spoonful of Cream.
Okay. That releases on March 17th this year.
Moron Wit.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And the Goblin King.
Okay. The Goblin King's a double IPA.
So you did bring some heavy hitters for that event, because we were actually bringing, because when you came on, we actually had two James Spirits on.
Yes.
And they brought us the gin barrel-aged Melt My Brain, which was a heavy hitter, plus the gin that was barrel-aged.
Barrel-aged gin, yes.
Yeah, so we were able to try all of that. Before we came onto the show, you were talking about the differences between your Shelby and your Ferndale. Now, you have a full kitchen over at your Ferndale account, correct?
Ferndale is primarily a pizza kitchen.
A pizza kitchen.
Yeah. So right now, all we have is pizza. We've got a couple of pizza-related items that are not exactly pizza, but...
Garlic knots.
Yup. And a Bulgarian bread boat. And it's funny that you bring it up because I was in the middle of making our new menu for there today when I had to shut my computer and come over here for the podcast. But we've got some different items going on there. Pepper jack bites and these curry chicken bites with Asian... spicy Asian sauce is delicious.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing.
All I smell is peanut butter on this glass. are you using straight peanut butter or some type of extract or peanuts?
So we hit it twice. We hit it at the end of the boil with, believe it or not, PB2 dietary supplement. It's a powdered peanut butter that most of the oil has been
extracted
from.
That doesn't even surprise me. So
you said in smoothies.
Yeah, well, if you ever try to make a peanut butter beer with real peanut butter, the oil kills head retention.
Yeah.
So, and some of the extracts that we fooled around with just didn't deliver the flavor profile that we're looking for. So we do use a peanut extract post-fermentation, but at the end of the boil, we hit it with that PB2 dietary supplement, and it puts like that real nut character into it.
So am I getting gains from drinking this? Is this a high protein drink that I can use as a post workout?
We're going to do push-ups during the break.
I don't know about that part, but I mean,
it's a hard no for me.
I'm serious because I think there's been a lot of people who have sold post-workout beers that are a high protein beer. Have you gotten this regulated to see what the protein?
I would be really interested to see what it is. I can't believe that there would be much protein still in suspension. You know, I don't know. I've never had it analyzed.
Reacts in beer.
I don't think it could have much, especially considering that supplement goes in pre-fermentation.
Gotcha. I'm actually looking up, trying to see if I can find the thing. Because I remember we talked about it on this show because it was a huge thing, and VinePair actually posted it. And it looks like I can't really find it, so we're just going to continue with the conversation. So, at Shelby, you have a food truck?
We have Meat Sweats food truck every Friday and Saturday in Shelby.
Okay. You mentioned, and I don't know if it was just the way you said it, is that your guys' food truck? Like
It is now. It is now. So we had a bunch of different food trucks for a while, and it was awesome to have a bunch of different people in. But we were struggling with lining up a different food truck or several food trucks in rotation on a regular basis, regular enough for our customers to be able to rely on the food truck being there. So we had this food truck Infusions there for about 3 months, and really nice guy Kevin was running it, and he wasn't really happy with the truck that he had purchased. It was a brand new truck, and he was thinking about changing it up. And I have a good friend of mine who's got a culinary arts degree, and I gave him a call and I just see what he was up to, and he was looking for something to do. So I bought the truck off of Kevin, and my buddy Matt is now running the truck every Friday and Saturday.
Oh, right on. All right. It's funny how all that kind of works out in the end.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really nice to have it there all the time because now the customers can really rely on, you know, before it was like, oh, let's go up to Brooks. Is there going to be a food truck there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Check the Facebook. Oh, yeah, there is. Or they canceled. Or, you know, we don't know if they're going to be there. Now they're there every Friday and Saturday. It's
the same truck, same food. Are you said that you mentioned different food trucks. Are the regulars pretty keen with the same truck being there?
Oh. Yeah, we rotate the menu.
Okay. Right.
Not quite as much as I would like to, but we do rotate the menu.
Okay.
I just added two more items today. And tomorrow, our biggest beer release of the year, Lumberjack, we have the Lumberjack Off Festival.
Yep.
And the food truck has got special dishes for that.
Cool.
You know, only on beer release days, we make a couple special dishes.
So keep another way to just keep it fresh, keep it different. Right on.
Very I imagine cool. Anything called meat sweats is going to be right up my alley.
Mine as well.
It sounds keto, so it makes me happy.
Yep.
Bingo square. Got it.
Now, as far as Shelby Township and Ferndale, are there any like beers that are different from one place to the other? Do you normally run the same taps, or do you have like something like to have something that's like a little more exclusive from one place to the other?
Well, I had expected early on that the tap list was going to be vastly different between the two locations. I was hoping to have a larger spread between the two locations, but we were finding that our customers in Ferndale were already familiar with the product in Shelby, and we're just happy that we were in Ferndale and wanted the ability to have the products that they had heard about from Shelby just closer to them. So right now the lineup, we have 25 taps in both locations, and each location has about 5 beers that the other one doesn't.
Okay.
So we've got about 20 staples that are shared between the two locations, and then about 5 special beers for each one.
Does having two facilities with very close tap lists, has one with the Shelby, we're going to focus on the Shelby facility. Mm-hmm. Has that one kind of fallen off a little bit? Are you still seeing people coming in even after Ferndale is opened?
That's an interesting one. It's something I've been looking at a lot recently, because surprisingly enough, Shelby has gotten busier since Ferndale opened.
Really?
Yes. And I'm not sure if it's just that Shelby's been open for almost 5 years now.
Okay.
You know, it might just be that, you know, as you get your name out there, and we've also, in the last year, we've done a ton of other things too.
Yes.
You know, our production of bottled and packaged product and our distribution to accounts has tripled in the last year and a half, thanks to our sales team. So I think that makes a big difference too. I definitely, if the question is, are we losing customers from Shelby to Ferndale? I can positively say absolutely not.
Right on. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't.
Very cool.
I think most of the customers in Ferndale, they come in saying, I've been to the one in Shelby. I'm so happy you're here in Ferndale.
I mean, that's a, you know, half hour plus drive from Ferndale
absolutely.
To Shelby.
35 minutes with no traffic if you're hitting the right roads.
Yeah, it could be an hour once Mountain Road starts construction next year. Yeah.
I don't even want to hear that.
Oh, yeah, you definitely don't want to hear about that.
I'm glad I moved away.
That's why I don't take Mountain Road anymore. You mean on my way to work? I take Van Dyke.
I'm just excited moving to Ipsy that a trip to Chicago is a lot, you know, faster.
You don't have to go through Detroit or Ann Arbor. Well, wait, do you have to go through Ann Arbor still?
No, because I hit under Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay, you're going south of it.
Yeah, because usually a lot of those people, you know, you're going 96 to 275 to 14 to 94.
Yeah.
That little weird direction.
Yeah.
One of the things I like to ask brewers, especially since you've been doing this for so long and, you know, the amount of growth that you have, you know, Carry 2020 gets a...
You enjoy doing.
Oh,
delegate the jobs that you don't want to do.
Instead of delegating the jobs that you enjoy doing.
I love being in the brew house. That's where I am most comfortable. That's where I'm the happiest. I love making beer. And I've got two great brewers working for me right now. Corey Paul worked for Sherwood for 13 years. Huh. and Greg Brown's been with Brooks for over 2 years now. Great brewers. I'm most of the time tied up with logistics and making sure a beer delivery makes it to a purchaser or our other location on time. And they're important jobs and stuff that needs to be done. I would just much rather be back in the brew house. That's where I enjoy being, you know?
I actually had this conversation with John Rusinski over at Dearborn, is that he is so busy that he can't do the one thing that, you know, and that's what you guys, you
I
know,
do. I do remember that.
That's, yeah. That's how you guys are built. You want to brew, you want to brew beer.
That's what I got into it for. Yeah.
And yet now it's great that your business is sustainable and you can do it and make a profit and not have to worry about too many things. But in the same token, now you can't do it because you have to make a profit and you have to
do all the other things. You know?
Yeah.
So with Ferndale now open, how many people are basically work for Brooks?
We just streamlined a little bit. We unfortunately we parted ways with a couple of employees. I've been not service industry background, but my entire life I've been service background. I'm from an automotive field where I was paid by the job, not by the hour. Okay. So we've always run a thinner crew because being that I've been paid by the job in the past, I always like to see all of my employees have the opportunity to make as much money as they want by getting as many shifts as they want. Okay. So we had some people that they had better opportunities elsewhere. So I'd say right now we have about 15 employees.
Oh, wow. Between the two.
Between the two. We run it thin. Wow. We run it thin. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but unfortunately, it puts a lot of load on some of us. You know, if we got to pick up a shift here and there, or if someone goes on vacation, I have to pick up those duties. It's really nice when one of the brewers goes on vacation because then I get to get back in the brew house.
Oh, that's 15 people between two brewers. Now, do they kind of like flex back and forth?
They do. They do. Oh, okay. They do. They do, thankfully.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Everybody wants to work in both of them, which is great. There's certain reasons, you know, Shelby Township, that location, being that it's been there for 4.5 years, you can count on 40 regulars every week. You know their name, you know, you're familiar with them, you know, it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Ferndale, you get to meet new people every single day. So there's advantages to working in both location, and almost every one of our employees wants to work in both of them.
Nice.
One of the things that you guys have that a lot of other brewers don't have, and I think this is very almost signature to you guys, is you call it flat rate sipping.
Yep.
Why don't you explain to us exactly what that is?
So we were trying to find a way early on to try to break down the pricing structure of different beers in order to try to get people to try new things. So when we were looking at, you know, some beers take a lot more money and ingredients to make than another beer, but in some places we'll have to charge accordingly. We were hoping that we could find a happy medium between the two cost points and just charge the same for every single beer, with the hopes that somebody who comes in to drink the Hefeweizen every day because they like the flavor and the price points right might try the IPA or the double IPA because it's the exact same price. And it works for us. We get customers that come in saying that they only like a certain type of beer every week, and we get them on something that they've never tried before because they're all the same price. So, you know, you might as well try something that you've never had before. The Corey Kettle Sour is a funny one. We get people coming in all the time. Like, oh, I don't like sours. Typically sours are a little bit more money when you go to other breweries that have sours, and ours are exactly the same price. So, it gives them the opportunity to at least try it.
Speaking of sours, you want to try another beer?
Yeah, I don't know if he has a sour, but I'll take.
You don't have a sour, do
you? Let's crack something else open for sure.
Let's go for another one.
From a serving standpoint, it's awesome too, because at the end of the night, when the five of us are sitting at a table and we all have all of our beers on the same bill, we can easily say, "Well, Ken had 3, Nick had 2, Rob had 4."
Oh.
It's all, we can add it up without having to remember exactly what we had.
Right.
So this is the beer that's getting released tomorrow.
That is releasing tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
That's our most sought after release of the year.
It's a Brooks Brewing exclusive.
Why the decision to do a wee heavy as a, or was it the market that kind of made it your own decision?
The market makes those decisions for us.
That's crazy to see, because there's not too many, at least in Michigan, like wee heavies. All you can think of is Dragon Mead as a
Fire the Kill.
As a not mass produced, but a produced
right.
production at a bar or at a beer store. Why do you think you guys sell a lot of the wee heavy? Minus obviously a good taste, but you know, that's not a style that a lot of people lean towards.
Well,
usually that's a scary style. It's
almost a, like,
that's on the line of ESB and English
right.
mild. And
well, it's funny that you mention Dragon Mead in the question, because Brooks is newer to the game, but not that new. And to be honest with you, a lot of the beers that I developed when I was a home brewer and young to the
we're gonna need to pass me that bottle, because this is amazing and I need a little more in my
glass. when I was young,
sorry
to the
interrupt.
When
you
I was
talk about the beer, you went right into it.
When I was young to the commercial scene as well, and mostly as a home brewer, when I was trying to develop my styles, I was building my styles after my favorite beers around the area, and Dragon Mead and Kunin, they were my breweries to frequent. And Dragon Mead had the best wee heavy that I know of around the area, especially at the time. So I kind of modeled it after some of their beers. Wendy mentioned our triple earlier. I mean, Final Absolution, I can't think of a better model to break down to try to emulate a classic style from a local brewery.
Well, from a local brewery, but I'm going to give you one that's right up there, too. That's right up there. One you can get here, one you can't. And that's Unibrew. Le Fin de Mun is probably one of the... I love Final Absolution. It always has a place in my heart, but I think Le Fin de Mun is probably the, in my eyes, the gold standard of a mass-produced Belgian triple.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. I just like that I could drive 15 minutes and sit at the bar at Dragon Mead. You know, that local.
Well, what's interesting, and maybe you can enlighten me a little bit with that, but Belgian triples are definitely a higher ABV beer, but they don't have the higher price point that a lot of other beers with the ABV style is. Why is that? Is it the ingredients, or is it the fact that, because what I always believed is that Final Absolution, Dragon Mead always kind of lived in this world pre-craft beer boom. And their prices are trying to be on marker, you know, on marker with Killian's, Blue Moon, Lion and Kugel, so it's not too far away to get to. But when you see like Unibrew, like I went to, and I've told this story 1,000 times, but when I went to Joe Louis Arena and I found $9.23s of Unibrew, and that's at a stadium pricing. Unibrew, and I got tanked that night. Don't worry, I didn't drive.
I have a really funny story about that.
Is it the same?
About Le Fin de Mun.
Yeah, that beer will get you.
I was on a cruise, and I found that was it. I found a English pub on the cruise.
Okay.
And the second night, we stopped in Key West, and they actually had to restock their Le Fin de Mun because I drank them out of it the first 2 days.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
But is it an ingredient thing? Is it a time thing that involves Dragon Mead? And obviously Le Fin de Mun's a little more mass produced, so it's easier to bring the price down.
Well,
but
I don't want to speak for either of those breweries, but I'm gonna take a guess and say that it's a market driven price point. There's a ton of ingredients in those beers still. I think, you know, both Unibrew and Dragonmead have been around for a really long time. I'm not sure about Unibrew, but I know Dragonmead's been around for 21, 22 years now. And
I believe when we had Spencer on the last time, they were celebrating their 21st year.
Yeah, I think they're 22.
Lefindema, or Unibrew for that matter, is 93.
Okay. Wow. So I think, you know,
the benefit of the internet over you. I'm sorry.
I think, you know, in today's marketplace, your consumer is not afraid to spend $8 on a bottle of beer, a bomber of beer. But 22 years ago, these breweries were being put up against Miller and Busch. Anheuser-Busch for shelf space, and they were shoehorned into this distribution price point, being compared to Sam Adams, a giant production facility. And I think they just got they got beat up by the distributors on that level of distribution. And I think if you look at the ingredients and the time and that goes into both Final Absolution and Le Fin de Mon, I think if they were able to reset their pricing structure, I think they would charge a lot more for those beers.
Well, maybe at this point you can almost consider it, now that you're in the restaurant industry, a loss leader.
Right, right.
And, I mean, I'm sure breweries have loss leaders too, but, you know, that's definitely more of a restaurant food turn of phrase. I do want to, before we take a break, I want to give a little bit of shout out because I was in Boston this week. And I did a sin. I, at a beer shop, dropped a beer and it shattered.
Ooh.
And I felt like shit.
I thought you were going to say that you like tried to recreate some scene from the Boondock Saints.
No, I was near the Prue, but
I mean, well, fucking it up, it is.
Okay.
So I do want to give a shout out. I told them I would. I was offering, I offered to pay for the beer in the first place. I was like, all right, whatever. I dropped a beer. It's my fault. Like, it wasn't like it was me. It was me being careless. I was like, oh, I want this beer, dopes. So, honest to God, though, you guys have find yourself in Fenway, which, you know, that's where the Boston, what do they call them? Red Sox. There you go.
Yeah.
That's where the Red Sox play. The
sports ball team plays.
The sports ball team, yes.
Yeah.
Not those cheating Astros.
Asterisks.
Yeah, the asterisks.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
So if you head over to go to Fenway, or you're in Boston near Fenway in the Fenway area, go to the Fenway Beer Shop over on Van Ness. This place has amazing beer selection, single bottles. It's literally like a Zatuna Liquor over in Fenway. And what's great is that you can get cold beers prior to going to pay stadium pricing over at Fenway, because I've paid stadium pricing at Fenway. And for that ballpark, it ain't worth it. So go check them out.
Damn.
But I did bring some gifts for everyone.
Yes.
Wait, what?
We're going to be doing that during the second break. We're going to start a little early so we don't get into a big conversation, but we will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
Everybody set them up, Schitt's Creek. And I just said something embarrassing to Cheryl Teagues. And I'm aware of tease, but I'm staring at a pair of D's. High five, bro, singing somewhere. Five or less sign, think about a rise and decide that I'm gross. I'm fine, so I'm a fine folk. I'm some ride or die close. I'm on to ride a unicycle across a tight rope. Like the battle, I might choke. I might choke the shit out of a rapper with the right quote. I hate to be accused of hyperbole. Hyperbole. No attention to the man behind the curtain, courtesy. Yo, I'm 33. Give a fuck about your diet, serving me. Insert your favorite surgery. Whole goddamn circus is absurd to me. Return to a mercy, mercy me. Murder modernity permanently. Yeah, big perm picture in suburban weed. But y'all are nervous about a turpentine. Running from the gun serpentine. I've had the perfect week. Earth to dweebs. Since I've learned to tweet. I've been like, Mars, 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 fill my pockets with the wallet of a misanthropic pill. Pop it ill, got in with the chill spot. Shot, got the pot of chili hot. Really not dealing with you, Billy Bob's SOB. Silly sob stories getting gory with the Philly cheese. Still
bullet on my filthy jean jacket. Reenactment of a pigeon crapping. Pissing in your pigeon basket. Pigeon catch you sick and fetch. Wiggle like you pitch a tent. Rhymes and beats so sick you wretch. Sitting on your picket fence, you hit the deck. Wicked's job, chop them like a chicken neck. Second best, something that I'll never be like sick of sex. Pick up checks, something that I never do. Pickle eggs, something that I never chew. Get respect, something that I never knew like revenue. Resolute to evolute. Get up off my level in your devil's suit. I don't need your residue. Your resume embellished, mine is bulletproof. Bully on cues, put a fennel soup, a friend of few. Bars and shalars, bars and cigars, cars and cars, tarnish the stars, sharks at the guards, garnish with law, parts of the large, extra large, large, extra large, bars and cigars, cars and cars, tarnish the stars, sharks at the guards, garnish with law, parts of the guards, large, extra large.
And we are back
with some peanut butter celery.
With some peanut peanut buddy porter. There you go. We just got to do the remake. I know the guys. I can get them to remake a theme song for you.
Remake.
I don't currently have a song for peanut buddy porter yet.
Well, I mean, it's just going to remake their song into the theme. It's kind of like, you know, when they acclimate a song into a commercial and they change like a few words. And that's where I was going with that.
Okay.
So we do have a question in the chat that I might as well go for and ask real quick before we go into segment two. Mark Taylor wants to know, what is good beer to go with sweet and sour shrimp? Are you a good beer pairer, Kerry?
I'm a terrible beer pairer. My girlfriend is incredible at it. I usually find myself eating the entire food plate of food and then drinking three beers afterwards.
I am with you. I can't can't eat and drink at the same time.
Yeah.
I love
to do both, but I'm terrible at like taking a bite and taking a sip. We're doing a beer pairing dinner on
you're not running it.
Just before No, I'm not. I'm making the food and I'm making the beer.
No, but I'm delegated that.
But I'm not responsible for pairing them.
Fair enough.
I like to eat and I like to drink, but I'll let other people make the decision of which ones to mix together.
Gotcha. As always, with segment two,
here is Robert with the beer news.
I feel like my mic is a lot lighter than everyone else's.
It doesn't sound too bad.
I'm a little higher than everyone. That's all right.
Pop top can. Watch that sucker.
Oh,
here we go.
Shit. We're popping the coffee it cider.
Oh, boy. It's like official now.
Donkey Rob, yeah. Segment two.
Yes, sir.
It's the news.
What
is going on in the world of beer?
Oh, a few things that are going on, which actually, and Wendy is giving me this, like, what the fuck look as she just took the first sip of the coffee cider.
I didn't even get a sip in the coffee.
So as everyone is starting to drink that, I'm going to go through the first one here. And with this week, obviously another Fat Tuesday has passed and most of the Midwest nation is filled with Punschkes. And, I got to give a quick shout out to one of my coworkers, Kevin Bass, who basically took upon this challenge of eating as many Punschkes as he could.
I saw that on your Facebook, by the way. That is disgusting.
And before 10 a.m., he ate 13.
Oh, my 13. God. Now, they did a weigh-in before.
They did a weigh-in before. And he weighed in at 198 before he started eating when he was done. Now, granted, we did have pizza in the office, too, so he had pizza for lunch as well.
After 13 Punschkes?
After 13 Punschkes.
Well, he had to do something to even out the sugar.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
So he pretty much he had a little bit of I guess you can call it the Punschke sweats. I don't know what the fuck I was going to call it.
It's a meat sweat. Yeah, meat sweats. Yeah.
But once he left, he weighed in. He was leaving at 203. Was when he
gained 5 pounds in like a work day.
just from that, from eating. So
is he okay?
He is okay. I mean, he's an intern. He's young.
You're going to make the intern do it?
No. We didn't make him do it.
Voluntary.
He decided, because one of our other coworkers ate 8 of them last year, that he decided
to break the record.
He's like, the day before, he said, I'm going to eat 12. And so he ate 12. And then I said, all right, hey, you win. Here's your prize. So I gave him a 13th. And then he ate that. But
oh my god!
Hey, he lived, and then you know the next day he came in. He was fine. It's like not even really even a hangover.
Probably
or anything.
Be eating greens for the next 2 weeks.
Right, but I mean, I guess that kind of puts it into the time of which what Fat Tuesday is, which right afterwards then begins, of course, Lent.
I got really confused walking into a bar and seeing a handful of people with the little mark on their forehead, forgetting that it was Ash Wednesday. I mind you, I was definitely so. If you ever go to Boston, my trend is when I go to Boston is I gotta have Tasty Burger. Like that's just the thing you do, especially when you're in Boston, especially when you're in Fenway. So I'm a good 6 pints and a pitcher of beer in. So then I go and we go back to this other bar and I just see it and I'm just my mind is blown because I can't figure it out. It took me longer than sober Ken would have. But go on.
Okay. So we've heard this story before from last year. There's a man in Ohio who is about to now make his second run at doing or drinking nothing but beer for Lent. He is not going to eat any solid foods. It's just going to be nothing but beer. The last time he did this, he did it throughout the duration, a full 46 days. He ended up losing 44 pounds during that entire time. Since then, he said he's gained about half of it back, but he's kind of hoping that in this run that he's just going to lose even more and then just have a bigger net loss. He's actually this time, instead of doing the 46 days, he plans on going for 50, which apparently I guess there's like a Guinness World Record for this for fasting only on beer. It doesn't really matter to him because there's nobody that Guinness is going to sit there and track him.
I was going
to
say, that's a very...
He just wants to see if he can do that. But the one little fact that I came across, which actually brings me to Doppelbox, was that drinking beer for Lent was not something that's brand new because it goes all the way back to 17th century Munich friars of St. Francis of Paula, where friars couldn't eat solid food. So then they came up with the Doppelbock that would pretty much serve as their liquid bread.
I was going to ask, was there a certain beer he's drinking during this?
From last year, really from both last year and this year, there's nothing in there that says what exactly he's drinking. Just that he's going to be drinking beer, and I would imagine there's got to be something he's going to drink that at least has some sort of nutrients.
I recall him. I recall reading this, and I remember oatmeal stouts as being one of the beers that was on his palette of beers to drink as something that was a little bit more filling, a little bit more calorie heavy beer. Because obviously, the big thing with that is no matter what you go, you need to have some type of caloric intake. Like you can't, you can't do this on Miller Lite.
Because isn't that where quads, quads were like the beer that they sold to people around the monasteries when they were fasting? Because the monks would
fast
and just drink beer.
Yeah, I didn't go too deep into it, what I was reading, because it was talking about the Doppelbock, and then it was talking about how the monastery had to get approval from the church to basically say that, this isn't, going against God in any way, and then actually won approval and was able to actually sell it to the people. But I didn't see anything about any of the other styles, about the going into the triples or the quads. But a couple other things that isn't new within the last, 10 years, because there was a guy who did this back in 2011. He actually wrote a book about it called Diary of a Part-Time Monk, a guy named Jay Wilson. Another guy did it in 2014, and basically just following his own methods. But basically, Hall had kind of the guy who's doing this again. His name's Del Hall, and basically he is saying from his first attempt that those first few days were hell, and getting through the first couple weeks was no easy feat either. Which I would think doing any type of fasting without any solid food is going to be that way. What I'm curious is that if you wanted to do this, what beers would you choose to fast on for 50 days?
Gosh.
You'd have to go through them. I would have to go through every style. I would think that I would get so bored with drink. I mean, I go through them a lot, but I would assume that I know I would have
you
to
go through them already while you're eating.
Right. I would just have to think that I would get tired and be constantly wanting for a new flavor, longing for a new flavor.
I feel like I'd have to go something heavier, like, and not dark heavier, but like a wheat. Something that's going to be a, like, again, the big thing that I'm going to look, I would look at is calories. I would look at what is going to fill me up with the most nutrients. Not necessarily the highest ABV, because obviously the highest ABV is going to give you the most calories. But you almost need like a low ABV, high calorie count, because your body is going to be burning so much. And the huge thing here too is that
milk stout.
Yeah, you're not going to be getting too much protein in this diet at all. You know, it's going to be straight fat and carbs.
Right.
So you're what he probably, I mean, I don't know the gentleman, so he probably lost a lot of muscle mass during this time, which is probably a lot of the weight that he lost.
Tough to tell from the pictures. I mean, if you go back to the article from last year and you see the before and after, that it could, I mean, I think anybody loses 40 pounds is going to look pretty clear and evident.
Oh, yeah.
But, it, I mean, for him, it just looked like, damn, are you sick? I just want to make sure you're okay, because I mean, he looks skinny, and it does, there is a little bit of the kind of like frailty that kind of has that look to it.
I think my first choice would be to probably go to Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, and talk to Jack. And I think Jack would probably have a lot of information to be able to give me some suggestions. But I think I would probably stick in my wheelhouse, so I'd probably go for something high malty, low hoppy. So ambers, browns, stouts, alts, milds, for when I want to maybe drink a couple to fill up and not necessarily get drunk. But I mean, that's the thing, is that how many do you have to drink to stay at a
for what he did, to satiate your hunger? For what he did last year, he said that he drank about 2 to 5 a day.
I drink 2 to 5 a day already. And I eat.
But if all you're doing, if all you're consuming is beer, after a couple weeks, it probably doesn't take more than 2 to get a really, really good buzz.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But without any other food, though?
Well, I mean, you're
straight into your bloodstream, probably gets absorbed so fast without having food and other things going through your bloodstream.
Probably where, because I mean, the alcohol sugars is probably just getting absorbed right into the blood at that point. Yeah, I mean, you almost might be worried about being like in a diabetic type situation with that.
Because it's sugar and then it's gone, and then it's sugar and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just on the diet I'm on alone, I have noticed that my tolerance has dropped, because it's just obviously it's not the same foods, and everything has been lighter, and just like even with that light amount of food, I'm not even sure how he gets through this, how he did this the first time for 46 days. Never mind, he's going to throw out an extra 4 days on this. It's, I guess we'll follow up and see how his progress goes, and I'm sure there'll be another kind of before and after picture, and we'll see how he looks in about a month and a half.
Maybe this time I'll share what beers he had too.
Yeah, that'd be. He might start a little, you know, beer diet book. I don't know.
that might be enough for me to try one of those hot dog water beers. Have you seen those? Yeah. I haven't tried one yet.
No.
There's some hot dog water beers out there. I haven't tried one yet, but.
You mean it's not a Limp Bizkit album?
Limp Bizkit.
Hot dog flavored water?
Oh, we caught it. We knew what you were saying.
I didn't know that was a real thing.
It's not. No, it can't be.
We're trying to pretend like it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right, good.
All right.
Just making sure. It's been a long day. Forgive me.
Next one that's up there, Michigan alcohol bills have been just really coming through lately, because now there is a new one that I saw a report on that a lawmaker is now pushing, with two lawmakers, there's two sponsors to this, is now pushing for the legislation of self-serve wine and beer machines. So it's House Bill 5544, which for all intents and purposes is probably the shortest House bill I think I've ever read. It seriously is 2 pages.
That's it?
That is it.
2 pages?
It is actually 2 pages. I was very surprised when I opened this thing up, and it's just like, and I kept scrolling. So I'm like, wait, where's the rest? Where's the rest? There's always some sort of appropriation of something in here. And it literally was it. But it's been sponsored.
Slow work day, I guess.
Guess so. But sponsored by Rodney Wakeman and Steve Marino. I'm not sure what districts. I didn't get a chance to look at what districts they're in. I think one of them is in Saginaw Township
I'll find out.
But basically for bars that will have the dispensers, customers would need to purchase a wristband to use it. It sounds like it's very similar to some of the places that are overseas and I think some places that are here in the U.S. that already have this.
Pour my beer.
So they use the wristband. You pay for it at the bar. You get the wristband. You go up to the dispensary. You put your wristband up. It recognizes you, charges you, and then you pick the beer. It's in the law, provided that this passes, that it's going to be set up so that customers are not going to be able to get any more than 48 ounces of beer or 15 ounces of wine. I think just at one time.
They don't know that too well.
They did what?
Well, this is for Michigan.
Yeah.
So this technology already exists. I actually went to a place that used to be at the Fort Wayne ballpark that was a wine. Basically, the whole point, one, what sucks is that you're pouring your own beer. It's a self-checkout, kind of like a Kroger.
It's a U-scan.
Yeah, it's you're losing that experience you are with the server, especially with the capability of having someone explain to you what the beer is, what the beer tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
In the same sense, there are a lot of net positives with it, including the fact that you're not waiting for a server.
Right.
But your ability to micro pour, so you don't have to pour yourself a full glass. You could pour yourself by the ounce. What's nice is that these are pre-filled cards, RFID chips, or even fobs. That allow you to buy purchase. So what's good is that you could purchase, you know, say for instance, you wanted to purchase a certain set price for a company party or something like that. So you could, you know, create, all right, here's all your bar tabs so that nobody has to worry about it. They know what they get. It's almost like handing out Dave and Buster's cards.
I mean, and now that you bring that up, having had to organize an event for work and having roughly 95 people over at the Folding Warehouse, and everybody's just like, all right, here's your beer tokens. And, you know, while that was great and all, the beer token system kind of broke down a little bit, and people were still able to get beers. And before I knew it, when they gave me the bill was something like $1,400 for beers. I'm like, well, company's paying for it. All right. But it was a little higher than I thought it was going to be. But I mean, it does kind of go back to the concern about, you know, you losing the experience and not having the experience with the servers or the bartenders and whatnot. And I kind of feel like while there are more than enough people who are out there who somewhat know how to pour their own beer, there's going to be a whole lot of people who don't. And the one thing I don't want as a consumer is pouring a beer and all I get is nothing but just, you know, a glass just full of freaking head foam and head.
Yeah.
And, you know, if a bartender does that, they're just, all right, well, you know, pour it down, they'll make another one. But you're using your ID chip, that scan, you're paid, that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta drink that. And there's no, I mean, you might be able to go back over there and get a take back, but I mean, I don't see that really happening a whole lot. And I mean, that now leaves the onus on you to make sure that you pour your own beer correctly. And
well, there's
kind of like
there's,
that's not what I paid for, I guess.
Right places and wrong places. Like it's been 18 years since I've been on a cruise, but you mentioned being on a cruise and drinking them out of Le Fin de Mun. Do you think it would work better on a cruise ship than on land, having the capability? Or because the hardest thing, especially with places that have multi-generational, and when you have children around, like you can't card someone, you can't, you know, you're obviously short-staffed because you're only having one or two people, you know, you're having less people on the floor, less bartenders. But like if you were on the cruise and you could just go pour your beer at any given time, would you do that?
I don't think I would, just because I like the personal aspect. Part of like that particular cruise, I'm still Facebook friends with all three bartenders that I met in that English pub. So I really like the talking with the people who are serving me, that kind of thing. So, but I think there are a lot of people who would really like that.
let's take away the brewery out of it, but as a restaurateur, would you want that at a beer bar if you opened up a bar? Not let's start on the scale of Hopcat and work our way down to say like a 3NX scoreboard.
So I'm trying to remember where, but I've actually
Shelby Pub would be closer to you, so you would know that that'd be on that level.
I'm trying to remember where, but I've actually experienced this. It must have been in Ohio or Illinois, maybe, because
in Indiana it's legal, which is crazy because at that point they still didn't allow Sunday sales.
yeah, but I've run into it somewhere, and I've actually done it. And
the Pour My Beer is the name of the brand that does okay. all the
and I was self-service. This must have been. I mean this must have been 10 years ago. It was a long time ago that I ran into this, and I did it and. I was, it was on one hand, it was nice because I didn't feel guilty about trying all 50 beers that they had on tap. On the other hand, I was really surprised that for drinking 1 ounce at a time, that my bill was like $65. Ooh. So, and I just had little taste of every single one.
Were you getting retro charged, or did you put in an amount and then?
No, I got. It was just like a typical transaction in a bar or brewery. I was given a bracelet, or it was more like a key fob, and I went up and I scanned my key fob, and it allowed me to pour, and it kept track of how many ounces I poured. And at the end of my visit, I was then presented with a bill. So I think that they had posted somewhere. A price per ounce, and I don't think I paid too much attention to it because I was like, this is cool. I get to pour my own beer. I mean, 10 years ago, it was a lot cooler than it was to me now because I can pour a beer anytime I want at my brewery, so it kind of loses its appeal when you work in the business. But at the time, I was working on cars for a living, and the opportunity for me to be able to pull the handle was great. I would, as an owner of a bar, I would be nervous of how long their faucets last because a lot of people, like Rob was saying, I mean, the bartenders that do it for a living make it look easy to pour a beer. And, you know, the teeny tiny things that they do to make sure that you don't get a glass of foam go overlooked by the public quite often. Mm-hmm.
I mean, just us doing those at Beer Fest is
oh my gosh.
I mean, that's not an easy feat.
Well, no, the hard thing about Beer Fest is the lack of temperature control.
Yeah.
That's what we run into everywhere because it's either it's too cold, too hot. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many things that we run into to where you have to change the CO2. You have to change it to make it better or make it able so that it's not pouring. But for me, like the big thing. Is, you know, pulling the handle the full way because especially when you only want to pour an ounce, you don't want to pull it the full way, but you have to, or you're just going to get an ounce worth of head.
A lot of people don't realize if you half throttle that thing at all or partial throttle that faucet, it is nothing but foam, and you're still getting charged for it in this circumstance.
Yeah. Can you science that for me and explain why?
I can. It might take me a second. So it'd be easier with visual aid, but inside of that faucet...
Points to the camera.
Inside of that faucet, there's a plunger, and the plunger seals up against...
And we're getting shut down on YouTube.
A seal. And it's designed to flow beer properly at full open. So there's some orifices in there that allow the properly carbonated beer, if your beer is properly carbonated, because that's another thing that goes on with temperature changes. If the beer's... It's designed for beer at 2 to 2.5 carbonation by volume to flow through it at wide open without producing much foam. If you try to operate it outside of those ranges, it just doesn't operate. The valve, if it's not completely open and out of the way, it's basically just an obstruction in the beer's path. So there's a lot of turbulence in the carbonations released. Mm. Hope that wasn't too technical.
No, not at all. Yep. Speaking of pouring beer, we should pour the one that we haven't had yet in the bottle.
The Doppelbach.
Yeah, yes. The Doppelbach.
Pass
yeah.
that around. Are you going to open this lunch, Rob?
We'll open it.
Yeah, we'll open it.
I really want to try it next to our Hopsterbation, which is another beer that we brought. That's our New England IPA. And lunch has made its name in the marketplace for... 15 years now. I mean, I remember hearing about that beer a long time ago, and just people were crazy about it. So I just
then we'll do that.
I just want to try them side by side.
We'll start that. We'll start that segment three.
That's how we'll start segment
in,
three.
In the meantime, thoughts on the coffee cider?
It was good.
It was amazing.
It was very good.
It was just like I remembered, and now I need like the Mexican coffee cider.
And I think one of the other better parts about that is that while I realized how much it cost to make this stuff, and for Sellermans, it was smaller cans, and a four-pack was basically like about $24. You're talking 16.9-ounce cans at Ferndale Project, and it wasn't – I don't think I paid more than like 16 or 17.
For what, four-pack?
For a four-pack.
Wow.
So okay. You know, it's a bit of a different – better price, and I just think it's like a very high quality coffee cider that I will continue to go back to.
It's very clean. You could tell that the cider underneath the coffee was a good clean cider too, and then the coffee was an addition on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So really quickly, Rob, Steve Marino, 24th District, Harrison Township, Clinton, and Macomb Townships is what he covers. And then Rodney Wakeman, like you said, Saginaw of the 91st. 94th District.
So Clinton, that's covering Coonan.
Macomb Township, there's nothing.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because now that you're bringing it up with locations, it's like, and where they are, where have they been that would make them want to do this?
The biggest thing I would think of is a constituency. Like, you know, when you talk about politics, and not necessarily an R&D type thing, but R or D, not R&D.
Both of these guys are R's, by the way.
It's a constituency. Like the whole token thing, but... or it might have been a token thing. There was another law that came out, and it was, I believe, where Watermark is. It was like in Spring Levitt. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it involves who the brewery is over there that's trying to get it done, because it's not like you're, say, Hoplot, and you're going to the Clinton Township representative to try to get something done. You're going to your own.
Is there a lot of like bars in Harrison Township? Like over by the waterfront, like
you're looking at me like I go past.
I mean, I know you don't go. You don't even go onto the East Coast like that.
There's. I mean, that's you're on the water, so you're getting a lot of.
There's like, a lot of new breweries over there too.
Is there?
Dragon's Landing just opened up.
Dragon's Landing. Yeah.
That's
St. Clair Shores. That's not Harrison Township.
Is that
in regards to the guy we're talking about?
Terry's Terrace is that?
Terry's Terrace is in Harrison Township.
All right.
DK Barcade, I think, is what it's called.
I think it's still technically. Terry's Terrace.
Maybe. Rob, let's do one more quick before we take a break.
All right. So Next Glass, the parent company of Untappd, has now acquired Beer Advocate, one of the longest running beer review sites in existence.
Never heard of it.
If not the longest. So according to Todd and Jason Ahlstrom, the co-founders of Beer Advocate, they've been struggling to stay afloat for the last 2 years. There's actually a quote that basically just said, "We're for the last 2 years, we've been struggling to keep the lights on." And just kind of the truth of it. So they ended up selling. No numbers have been discussed in the deal, according to any of the articles that I saw, but both are allegedly to stand to gain some traction in each of the other strong areas, because apparently Beer Advocate tried to create an app. It didn't work out very well. And so now they're going to latch on to Untappd. Untappd, on the other hand, was not very good apparently at making beer events, whereas where Beer Advocate was in having the one of those being the Extreme Beer Fest, which happened in Boston a couple weeks ago. So I guess both is going to be kind of a win-win. But apparently there's people that are going to be upset, which there's always going to be somebody upset about somebody selling in any business. And it's just like, people who are like commenting on Reddit are basically saying, "Well, I just use Rate Beer anyway." I was like, "Well, I mean, if you want to use an ABI site, then you go right the fuck ahead." But I mean, there's a lot of people that have been just complaining about it. But
all right, let's.
We've used it. What as far as beer rating review sites, is there something that you would want to see that these sites can do better?
How do I want to put this very correctly?
Put it bluntly.
Bluntly? I don't give a fuck.
just freaking say it, man.
Unbluntly? No, I drink beer to enjoy it myself, not to hear what anyone else says about the beer.
Exactly.
Sure. I care what my friends think about a beer, so that I know not to buy it for them or know to buy it for them. But you know, what was how many beers did that one guy review last year? 4,500
4,100
beers in one year.
It was like basically 11, almost, I think it was like 11.9 beer average per day.
Yeah. You can't sit here and tell me you can confidently rate 12 beers a day and give me a true rating on it that is at any snuff other than I liked it or not. Like I can give you that because we try 12 beers on this show and I'll tell you if I like it or not, but I'm not going to give you the appearance and the sniff aroma and color. I mean,
like by beer three, your palate's pretty much done.
Yeah, I'm a certified BJCP beer judge, and I've done a couple of judging events, and I can tell you firsthand, after judging one or two categories, so tasting 10 different beers, not even drinking them, my palate is completely wasted. I can't taste anything after that. I'm just totally wiped
out. Even with the crackers and water.
Just totally wiped out. Palate's just destroyed.
We mentioned it last week because of the World Expo of Beer, which is one of the major BJCP competitions in Michigan. And one thing that they have is that they just continuously serve you drinks. When you're done with the style, you go to the next, you go to the next, and you go to the next. And
yeah, you got to take a break in there somehow.
There needs to be something. But even so, if you're not eating plain as fuck saltines and you know, pieces of, you know, not stale bread but dry white bread,
croutons.
I mean, no, croutons have flavor usually. But yeah, for Ray Beer, Beer Advocate, Untapped, I mean, we use Untapped, Bod Podcast, follow us. It's just going to tell you what we drank.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to tell you. We ain't going to rate it. I ain't going to tell you. Like, listen to the show if you want to know what we thought about it. But in the same sense, we drink so much, but our palates, including Carrie, is all different. We all want something different. We all like something different. You're a BJCP judge, but you're going to lean heavy towards your favorite styles, and you're going to lean away from the styles you don't like.
Very much so.
Just because you know how to taste them and you know how to judge them doesn't mean that, you know. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of issues with the rating culture of beer because there are styles that automatically have a higher rating and not necessarily the best of those styles, let alone the best beers.
Right.
But they're going to rate higher than styles that have an automatically low rating. And I think rate beer has a adjusted for rate issues or whatever, because they'll do an English mild, and if it's a 3.5 English mild, that's almost like a 5.0 beer.
Yeah.
Because again, not enough people drink them, not enough people make them, and you can't really judge them that well.
I've seen too many reviews that say this English beer or this English brown has no hop presence and it needs more dry hops, you know, to even worry about those reviews.
I don't like IPAs, 2 stars.
That's like somebody going on Amazon rating something 1 star because it showed up late. You didn't even rate the product. It just showed up late.
Yeah, you rated the service, not the product. But yeah, at that point, you're not even rating the service. You're rating a beer that, this vacuum cleaner does not vacuum up my dog shit. Well, it's not made to vacuum up your dog shit. Anyways, I'm going to be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
No news, let's do that. Cause that's good. Who's that? How can I know John Cusack? You whack. How can I know John Cusack? You whack. You can catch me at the grocery store hosiery aisle. Over my shoulder, smiles and chattering. Trying to find the pads with wings, the right brand of rice brand. Brandishing the nicest price tag. Just make sure it's organic, gluten-free, and comes from Iceland. More in common with Streisand and Seinfeld than most of Romwell. More comfortable in delis and wine cellars than at the shelter. Eat smelting gefilte with Sarah Michelle Gellar's assistance. All my relatives distant. Always felt like a misfit. Now I miss shit. Like eating Bisquick at Count Chocolate. Been having super high cholesterol since colostrum. My intelligence, the benefit of my genetics, but the cost of them is feeling I'll be accosted in a holocaust every autumn. Official stories never bought them. Swimming in white water with Hillary Rodham while Bill Wood was Sodom in Nolan Richardson's office. Watching Corliss Williamson jogging in hog heaven. Augment the nog head trip with nuggets and chocolate.
Cogswell cogs, gracely bogs, spacely sprockets. With only change in our pockets, it only changes in pockets. Gentrification, the pain and necroxics. The cock swain is intoxicated. Headed straight for the rocks. Rocks it straight, it still blocks the concentration. Constellation at the top of the poncha train. Who could really say, kid?
Say anything, Cusack. No news, let's do that. Cause ask her, who's that? How can I know John Cusack? You whack.
You whack.
Say, how can I know John Cusack?
Yeah.
It's that Kurt Cobain. He did it for the corny love. So it's fucked. So we scoring drugs at the front door of clubs. Of which we might see a portion of large, extra large, cause I'm sort of chubbed. I'm giving y'all raised hands more to touch. Somebody's in the kitchen with the diner cord, order up. I'm trying to break down these borders before I shuffle off this mortal crust. Wifey supports, I guess she don't think we pour enough. Pour an order for a rum and pour it for us for a clutch. We don't use a fourth of the fortune that's afforded us. At least we know that. Growth rap. Focus on the whole map. Global view like I was a part of that Apollo program. Crook, not a Rollo throwback. Got couple ton of old hands. You never watched your rap, that's your bad. I told you ass, I wanna hold hands, whatever. Slow dance or something. Hold hands while I smartphone low maps. Like we don't know they low jacks. Old snap, broken envelope drop like Bilbo's token. Fuck, I'm open arrow, exposing no skin. Gross point blank stare, going over all shit. I say anything, Cusack. No news, let's do that, let's do that, let's do that. How you not know John Cusack? You whack. How you not know John Cusack?
You whack.
Say anything, Cusack. No news, let's do that. Cause that's good. Who's that? How you not know John Cusack? You whack.
You whack. You whack. You whack.
So how you not know John Cusack?
John Cusack.
Okay, buddy. I was just trying to cheer us up, so go ahead. Put on some old sad bastard music, see if I can.
I don't want to hear old sad bastard music, Barry. I just want something I can ignore.
Here's the thing. I made that tape special for today. My special Monday morning tape for you. Special.
It's fucking Monday afternoon. You should get out of bed earlier.
Come on, dude.
And we're back. Brooks Brewing, episode 209, Better on Draft podcast.
That was a fun end to that.
Sorry,
song,
Graham.
Right?
Oh, hopefully your Grammy ain't listening.
Oh, she is. My dad just posted it. Love you guys.
Love you, Graham.
Love the.
So we're gonna be doing a side by side tasting of. The Hobsterbation from Brooks Brewing and Lunch from Maine Beer Co. And yeah, we're going to be doing a fun little game here for this third part. But I do want to give a shout out because this game is sponsored by Michigan Beer Box, who is actually sponsoring our March Draftness, which starts tomorrow again at around noon or so. Here we go. I got some extra cups for everyone.
Thank you.
To be able to do side by sides.
All right.
Nicholas, you can pour my side-by-sides while I talk.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. That's not what you were going to say, but thank you.
You.
So go check out mibeerbox.com. It is the Leap Year Special, so you're going to be able to get 33% off your Michigan Beer Box by going in there. I believe there is a code. I'm going to have to look it up real quick. So it's Leap, yes. Leap. Totally. That is going to be the code you're going to use to get 33% off your Michigan Beer Box 3 months by only paying for two. Simple. Easy. Use the code LEAP or LEAP YEAR, one of the two. And for sure, you're going to get it. Oh, there you go. It is code LEAP. Thanks. Sorry, Matt. Love you. And don't forget to check out BetterOnDraft.com/Michigan. Facebook.com/BetterOnDraft. That's where you're going to find all the competitions. Brooks Brewing, you're going up against Third Nature this week. You got a little smack talk for them?
I wish I knew them so that I could. They're a new brewery right on the west side, and I haven't.
Yep, they're over in Rockford. They opened up fall 2019.
If I had shaken someone's hand or cheers beers with anybody from Third Nature, I would love to smack talk or trash talk them, but I have not met them, I'm going to refrain. But I will say that they better bring it tomorrow.
I need the lunch to do the side by side. Or is this lunch?
No, this is lunch right here.
This is lunch. Oh, here. Never mind. I have both glasses.
Okay.
So I have hot. I just needed to know which one was which. So we're good to go. So before we do the tasting, we're gonna play a fun little game, kind of like what we did last week, but this is gonna be a little bit different.
I wasn't here.
Well, we don't care. We played the cameo game last week.
Oh, okay.
So this week it's gonna be a little bit like cameo, except it is going to be about Major League eating and eating competitions.
Oh, God.
Kevin, I need you in this one.
So this is going to be a quick little round robin as we go through. So don't take too long. Just give me a number. It is not Price is Right rules. You just have to kind of guess what you feel it is. I will give you the parameters and as much information as I can. You have to give me the number. So we're going to start with Punchkies. Fat Tuesday was, of course, this week. The record Punchki eating was during 2015. The total amount of time you have is 15 minutes. And I need to know what the world record is. You get to the half of Punchki.
Okay.
So we're going to just kind of go in a corner. So Nick will start this one, then we'll start with Carrie the next time, and then we'll just play until we have.
Why do I feel like it's such an absurd number?
I mean, every number is an absurd number. So 15 minutes, how many Punchkis? And this was in Hamtramck, by the way.
Oh, it was?
So you know they're very good Punchkis. They're not no, like, Kroger tiny mini Punchki.
These are, like, full size.
Yeah, they're the real deal.
I was going to say.
From the Polish Legion of American Veterans.
I was going to say 27, but I'm going to say, like, 21.
21. Carrie.
It's scored like Price is Right, closest to without going over?
Closest to, period. You
closest
can go
to
over.
Period. I'm going to go 19.
Ooh. Rob.
See, my thing is I was thinking about that because I'm thinking like one every 30 seconds. At 15 minutes, that would be 30. Go plus, minus, take away four. So I'm going to say 26.
26?
Oh,
Wendy.
Time to breathe.
31 and a half.
31 and a half. Let's go over the numbers again.
21.
21?
19.
19?
26.
26?
31 and a half.
31 and a half. Nick is going to take the first point.
Woo!
Holowicki, very Polish name because it's Holowichi.
Sounds like something from the Insane Clown Posse.
23, an average of 1.5 per minute.
Damn.
Is the current record holder. Before we continue, jeez. I did try both. What did you guys think before I tell you my honest opinion?
Hold on. Skip me for now.
All right, we're skipping you. I mean, Carrie, this is what you wanted to do. You wanted to try the Hopsterbader New England IPA against the Main Beer Co. Lunch.
I think they're vastly different. I can say that.
I agree.
And I don't really think that they can necessarily be judged against each other.
They cannot.
Because they're different styles of beer. One being a standard American IPA, East Coast IPA, that's been brewed for, how long have they been making that beer for? 15 years? 20 years?
Probably. Probably since they started.
And Hopsterbation has been in production for 4 years now. So much different styles of beer and probably about what you would expect from an IPA from 20 years ago versus a New England IPA from 4 years ago.
I don't like IPAs, so take this with a grain of salt. I don't like your New England IPA.
That doesn't bother me.
I do enjoy the lunch. It's a lot smoother than I kind of expected it was going to be. I was expecting to be a little bit more maybe on the West Coast area of a hoppy, piney IPA. But I'm getting a lot more citrus in there for sure.
I mean, just to kind of slightly paraphrase Dennis Leary, it's an IPA-flavored IPA.
It's an IPA-flavored IPA. Okay.
I really enjoy it because, I mean, with all of the different IPAs that are out there with the New England, the West Coast, and the adjuncts that get added in there, I'm starting to really go back to wanting just a regular IPA. Right. And that lunch really hits that. Really enjoy it.
Wendy, what do you think?
I'm going to go with...
Liking his hops better, too.
The New England IPA. Yours.
Thank
much
you.
Much better.
Thank you.
I'm not sure what hops are in the lunch, but it's not my favorite.
That's fair. Nicholas?
The lunch is very, very, very light. I almost thought, like, the first sip, I was tasting, like, a High Life there for a moment.
It's almost session-y, thinner than I
thought. Isn't it? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's good, but...
You can drink it really fast.
It's a very well-made beer, but whatever, there's a hop in there that I'm not fond of.
I think the what hop...
You
what,
always find what, a hop you're not fond of.
What's
this IPA tastes like hops. One star.
The one that Carrie brought in is a lot more bolder taste, and I like
yeah.
I wasn't
getting like a juiciness that I get from a lot of New England IPAs.
I don't think it needs to be there, though.
I mean, you're talking to the wrong person, so I'm just going to shut up.
That's the problem with, like, there's so many New England IPAs, like, juicy this, juicy that. Oh, it's orange juice, pineapple juice.
Yeah. Well, ours doesn't actually have juice or lactose in it. It is an IPA brewed with late hop additions. You know, we do have some with lactose and actual juice in it, but that's a whole different beer, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, this is good. I'm enjoying both.
I like it.
All right. Well, while we continue to drink these amazing beers, we're going to go to the next one. Carrie, you're going to start this one.
All right.
So I am going to give you oysters.
Oh, God.
This is by the dozen.
Dozen of oysters?
Dozens of oysters.
Oh, my God.
This is an 8-minute time span, June 3rd, 2012, and it was done by Sonia Thomas.
Oh, okay.
Black Widow?
Black, yeah. Women's champion of the Nathan's contest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a little bit more information on Sonia Thomas. Sonia Thomas did 9 pounds of crawfish in 10 minutes.
What a champ.
4 pounds.
What a freaking champ.
Four pounds. 14 and one quarter ounces of fruitcakes.
Ugh.
Do you even want to eat a fruitcake?
Why would
And exactly. her weight. Her age is 52.
She's skinny.
Are you
too.
Serious?
Her She's weight so is 105.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh
my gosh.
And dozens of oysters in 8 minutes, June 3rd, 2012. These are Acme oysters.
Acme?
That's the brand. Not the brand, but the company, the restaurant.
They don't explode, do they?
And dozens of oysters.
Get up and walk away if you
I need
eat
you to give me
stuff.
A number.
In 8 minutes, dozens.
Dozens.
How many dozens of oysters?
Are we going whole dozen or half dozen?
You can give me whole or half. I'll allow wholes and halves.
All right.
It doesn't break it down any further. It doesn't say like 6 dozen and 4.
Okay. I'm going to go 12 and a half.
All right. Rob.
That's Man. A lot of nasty ass
oysters. it's just 150. It's 150 oysters.
Yeah, this like it just made me think of those oyster beers. I'm like, no. Mm. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna go a little bit higher, just because Sonia is just a freak when it comes to those eating competitions.
She is crazy.
I'm gonna say 15 and a half.
15 and a half. Wendy.
9 pounds of crawfish is a lot, so I'm gonna say 16 pounds of oysters.
Oh, you.
You just
200 to 201 him. Nicholas.
A lot of slurping.
Oh, that is a lot of slurping.
It is. That's the thing you got to think about is you think maybe.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking
Are they doing two at a time?
Well, I'm thinking maybe she knocked him into a bowl and slurped him up.
Yeah, I will say.
Just so salty.
I don't know. I'll say 15.
15. 15, 15
Damn,
and
I just
a half
got sandwiched here. What the
I'm fuck? Trying to think of how long it would take me to put the cocktail sauce on and squeeze the lemon on so that I can choke them down.
About to say, yeah, do they get to use cocktail sauce?
I'm sure they probably are allowed to use any toppings or
time?
Anything, but who wants to?
Does it have like a big like little cup of it?
The correct answer, folks, is 4. He's 7.
47?
47 dozen?
16 wins it with 47 dozen Acme
47
oysters.
47 dozen?
I didn't think you could move your hands that fast.
That's 564 oysters.
Oh, my.
In 8 minutes?
In 8? How?
Could you imagine how tired her arms were?
It's almost like you're
my arms are tired thinking about it.
I know, right?
Funnel-bonding oysters.
All right, Rob, you're next.
Oh, my God. God.
I'm going to give you sweet corn, and these are ears of sweet corn. This was done by Carmen Sincotti. Carmen Sincotti has only 3 other records. One of his other records is in 8 minutes, he ate 22 pounds of strawberry shortcake.
Okay.
So, how many ears of sweet corn? And you can get to the quarter here.
Oh, God.
All right.
12 minutes is the time.
12 minutes.
And this was done
pounds?
On April 30th, 2017. No, not ears of sweet corn.
Oh, ears.
How many ears of sweet corn?
I'm thinking about the strawberry.
How much time?
12 minutes.
Ears of sweet
Carmen
corn.
Carmen Sincotti, 26 years old, 165 pounds.
I don't know. Wow. Ears of
52 corn. And a quarter.
52 and a quarter. Let me make sure I don't lose it. There we go. Wendy, you're going to be next here.
63.
Nicholas.
71.
Gary.
I'm going to go 50.
Wendy's going to pick up her second point. No. 61 and three wow. quarter
oh,
ears of sweet man. Corn.
What does that even do?
I was
do?
Trying to do math, and I couldn't get there.
I just so. Said, fuck the math. I'm just, give me it's a just, number. Just does that make sense?
Just grab yeah. it from the sky.
Yeah, that made yeah. a number make sense.
I was
use
like,
it.
How many ears of corn would that be per minute? I have
right.
no idea.
Oh, I broke it down. I broke God. It down to an ear of corn in 12 seconds, and then tried to do the math up and rounded it to 50.
I was just picturing a cartoon character, just like some yeah. of the cartoons, and just like
like a typewriter.
Yeah.
All right, Wendy, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the fun one. Cow brains.
Oh, no. Oh.
Kobayashi owns this one, doesn't he?
Kobayashi does yes. own this one. He actually only owns three records right now, Cow Brains being one of them. The other one, 41 lobster rolls in 10 minutes.
Oh, my what? God. Have you ever had a lobster roll?
In
No. It's a pet peeve of mine.
I guess you're going to Boston for your next beer occasion.
When I went to Boston, I traveled with somebody who won't eat seafood, so oh. I couldn't. It was too big for me to get on my own. That's why I said, what?
That's why I got to get like the sampler.
So Kobayashi, a well-known from Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, he is only 31 right now.
That's it?
His weight is 160. In pounds, and they go to a tenth of a pound on this.
Oh, to hell with that. I'm not.
15 minutes. How many pounds of cow brains did Kobayashi eat? Wendy, you're first.
49 and a quarter.
Damn.
Okay, I said only a tenth of a pound, but sure, we'll go with a quarter.
That's a lot of
There's too much.
How many did you say?
Too much math. 49.
49 and a quarter.
I'm going to say 30. I'm going to go lower. 33.
33. Carry.
22 and 6 tenths.
Thank you.
There's your tenths right there.
Thank you so much. Rob.
13 and a half.
Rob's going to pick up his first point. 17.7 pounds.
Wow.
Real right. quick, can anybody guess how many cow brains that is?
4.
57.
Fucking A, dude.
Cow brains are very, very light.
Cow brains.
We're going to go through one more, and we'll tabulate up the points and see how you guys are doing. Here we go. Actually, I did see it earlier, and I'm going to scroll back up to find it, but it's going to be soft shell tacos from Taco Bell.
Oh,
this is the first one that sounds good.
Which is like 4 bites.
Done by Joey Chestnut.
Of course.
Yeah, buddy.
Why not?
Aged 36, weight 230. And he did this in 10 minutes. These are Taco Bell soft tacos. So brand name. So it's not like, you know, you're going to El Charro and getting a puffy taco.
Oh, my God. It would, like, kill him.
Nicholas, you're first.
Soft shell tacos, Taco Bell. What year was this?
2011. Oh. So when they still had horse meat.
Back when they were good.
They had the horse meat McDonald's and kangaroo.
I think Chestnut holds the record for hot dogs, like 70 something. I'm going to go a little higher than that. I'm going to go 83.
83. Joey Chestnut's record for hot dogs, for information, is 74. 74.
Okay. All right.
So Nick says 83. Carrie.
10 minutes. 54.
Ooh. Rob.
I was about where I was at, too. So I'm going to go slightly higher on my card sharks. Let me see.
What is this, the 70s?
Loved card sharks. works.
Well, how old are you now?
I didn't say it this time.
leave it to Matt to go off on me, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm in a slight. I'm going to say 58.
58. Wendy.
49.
Carrie picking up another point. Oh, 53.
Right. Oh.
Damn, I was way the fuck off.
Those tortillas will get you the soft shell, man.
But I think it's the lettuce.
But what's worse, though? Is it the hot dog bun because he had 70-something, yeah. Ken?
74.
Or is it the thin tortilla? I mean, I don't know.
I can only eat like 30 soft tacos from Taco Bell in 10 minutes. So.
Hey, maybe that's a fundraiser that Brooks Brewing can do. How many soft shell tacos can Carrie eat?
It's probably. I somehow got myself into a chili dog eating competition at work one time.
Oh, jeez.
I was disappointed with my performance. I only made it to 8, and my competition got 12 down. Which was disgusting after eating 8. I can't even imagine how he'd feel.
Afterwards, there's no such thing as a feel-good tap.
I had a couple of friends that did a Peeps eating contest one time.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Charity. Charity, that's
the things we do for charity.
So. Well, Carrie, you're going to start next, and we're going to go with Peeps.
Oh, no.
This record held by Matt Stoney of San Jose, California, age 27, weight 130. You ready for another record of his? Silver Dollar Pancakes, 113 1-ounce Silver Dollar Pancakes in 8 minutes.
Go him.
For Peeps, how many Peeps did he eat in 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. 113 1-ounce in 8 minutes.
I feel like your mouth would get abrasion from the sugar on the outside.
Exactly.
Water, just like they do with the hot dog buns.
Oh, my God.
Five minutes. I'm going to go 24.
Rob.
As diabetes intensifies. 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Five minutes. Peeps.
I'm gonna go a little actually high on this shit. I'm gonna say 76.
Oh my God,
Wendy.
84.
Nicholas,
I'm gonna say about. I'm gonna say about 40.
Well, Wendy's gonna get this one, even though I don't think any of you deserve a point here.
Oh geez, was it like 200?
255.
Get the hell out of here, man. 255?
255 Pete's in 5 minutes at National Harbor, Maryland on April 8th, 2017.
Was there a conveyor belt involved?
Here, open up. We're just going to shove these in your mouth with this conveyor belt.
That's crazy because both of my friends that competed in that competition, there were only 4 people that competed. Neither of them won, and they both had like sugar crashes later in the night.
I mean,
like, it was.
Did they freaking intubate him through his nose so he could breathe while he was chewing? What the fuck? There's no time.
Oh, that's
okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
We're going to keep it going.
255.
Oh, God.
You ready for this? Because this is going to be a liquid one.
Oh.
Hopefully it's beer.
This is a time trial.
A time trial.
What is the fastest time for drinking a 22-ounce Slurpee?
Ooh. Ooh.
Rob, we start with you.
I'm pretty sure every one of us have brain freeze right now.
Any Brooks beer, just hand just it to me so I can pour in my glass.
Same here. I need some beer for this one.
22-ounce. This is a 7-Eleven sponsored event, so it's not, you know, icy. It is
Slurp. Is there a specific size?
22-ounce.
22. Okay.
Is there a flavor? Sure.
Do you think they're going straw? Because you know how like you get halfway down and it just turns into like dry, juiceless.
And you gotta serve the shit all the time. Yeah,
melt it down.
There is no other information other than that. I will see if I can look something up, and if I get any pertinent information, I will tell you after the
fact. I feel like I got brain freeze now.
I feel like you almost have to eat it instead of drink it.
Pretty much. 12.2 seconds.
12.2. Wendy.
Damn, it's fast.
24 seconds.
Bar and grill.
Some people can solve Rubik's Cube and faster than both of those times.
I will say 17.
17, 24. What were you, Rob?
12.2.
12.2?
Yeah, I'd like Ben Johnson, that shit.
Ben Johnson.
I don't know who that is.
3.5 seconds.
Damn,
dude.
Just like a, like, you've cheers with people, and they just go.
I've got to do math real quick.
Is it the fox from the man show?
Hold on, we got to come back. We got to come back. What was your number again?
3.5 seconds.
3.5, and what was your number?
12.2.
You got it. The correct answer is 9 seconds.
Woo!
Wow. April 15th, 2010.
It still takes time for it to come out of the cup.
Right.
It's got to slide.
Get rid of the brain freeze.
Right.
Sadly, Major League Eating does not have any beer records in there. But fun fact, drinking fast instead of like sport eating, it's called sport slurping.
I'm sorry.
That sounds like the greatest HR violation known to man.
So we are, we're on Wendy now. I got to get one more for you. I'm trying to get like all different people. You know what? Here we go. This is from a local competition. The place doesn't exist anymore. Tex-Mex rolls.
What's a Tex-Mex roll?
I don't know.
Well,
exactly.
Is it like a spring roll?
That's my guess. If we like not, enough people don't know what a Tex-Mex roll is, so we're gonna go with brats.
Yeah. Oh, brats! I can.
We're gonna do brats.
Calculate.
These brats are 4.5 ounces. I can give you that. This was recorded on August 24th, 2019.
Oh,
holy
okay,
shit, this dude is built.
Okay, so I know what that is. Okay.
This dude is 195 pounds of pure fucking muscle. his name's Jeffrey Esper. Jeffrey has another record. He has the record for chicken wings from Hooters. 281 Hooters wings in 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
But I want you to tell me how many 4.5 ounce brats he did in 10 minutes.
With bun?
With bun or without?
With bun.
So you said that the hot dog eating record is what? 74.
And this record was last year.
Oh.
I'm going to go.
I hope you've all counted how many points you have because I don't know.
81.
All right.
That's a lot of Johnson.
I'm going to go 69. Who's the dirty people in this freaking studio? Yeah.
64.
Rob.
Well, I guess I'll be under everybody. 42.
36.
Wow. Okay.
Rob, a point for you. How many points do you have, Rob?
I got 3.
Wendy, how many points you got?
2 or 3. I don't remember.
I think she has 3.
I'm 1 or 2.
I only have 1.
All right. We'll knock Nick out, and we'll do one more between you three for all the marbles.
Really quickly, the Tex-Mex rolls is like an egg roll almost.
Yeah.
But this has like Tex-Mex. Like, yeah, they kind of like angle it. Yeah. It's like a Southwest egg roll almost.
Okay.
But it's like chicken.
I do love a Southwest egg roll.
Those are pretty, they are pretty good. Cheesecake.
All right. So remember the guy who ate 255 peas in 5 minutes?
No.
Peeps.
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 Peeps. Oh,
not
peeps.
Peas.
Yes.
Not peeps.
I thought peeps. You said peas. I was
no,
like,
peeps
well, that's not
in
a
5 minutes. Well, he's back for the final round.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
From the Bass Pro Shops World Moon Pie Eating Championship, October 15, 2016, Matt Stoney, in 8 minutes, weighing in at 130 pounds, age 27, finished how many moon pies? And there is no fractionals. I need a full number.
Oh, man.
8 minutes?
8 minutes. How many moon pies? This is the gentleman that ate 255 peeps. Psst.
I can't even think of what a moon pie looks like.
Nick, you can give me a quick answer while they're in hibernation.
Moon pie?
Moon pie.
In 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
I'm going to say 40.
All right. Carrie.
140.
We're going to go with Wendy because you didn't know if he had 2 or 3, and Rob knows he had 3.
1. Wait, what'd you say?
I said 140. A moon pie is marshmallow covered in chocolate with a graham cracker inside, right?
Oh, I'm familiar with moon pie, yeah. How many
Carrie makes the moon pie, the peanut butter moon pie beer next year, the moon pie porter.
It was 10 minutes.
8 minutes.
8 minutes?
8 minutes.
I'm going to say 32.
32? Robert.
Well, between 32 and 140, I feel like I statistically have a better chance of just going like right in between them. So I'm going to go with 80.
Give me that answer and then the real answer, because I just want to see how off you are.
I really was just going to go with 80.
85.
Wow. Yeah. Nice work, Rob.
That's impressive.
Rob, congratulations. You won this random game that we've never played before for the first time. Your prize is a Brooks Brewing beer. You get a bottle of peanut butter porter.
Hell yeah. I like that.
Carrie.
Wait, can I get one of those too?
Sure.
Yeah, there's plenty.
There's the home version.
The home version. your Shelby site, where are they located?
Old Van Dyke, between 23 and 24 Mile on the west side.
How, are you open 7 days?
7 days.
7 days.
If you want food, come on Friday or Saturday.
Friday or Saturday for food. Can you bring in food on Thursday?
You can bring in food anytime you like.
All right.
Does Shelby Pub still make some good pizza? Do they still got the Gathering Place recipe over there or no?
I haven't had pizza there in a long time. I've stopped in for a beer, and I usually get Boom Boom Shrimp. I don't know about the pizza. It used to be good when it was Gathering Place. I haven't had it in a long time there.
All right. And then Ferndale, your new location. How long has it been open?
It has been open since June.
June. Where is it located?
It is right on Woodward, one block north of 9 Mile on the west side.
I can't find parking on Woodward. Where do I park?
Go behind Brooks Brewing. Go right behind. If it's during... Even anytime, even on the weekend, go right behind Brooks Brewing. You might have to park a little bit down by the bank, but it's really not a far walk. It's
7 days?
7 days.
7 days.
Pizza all the time.
Pizza all the time.
And you can bring in food there as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us. Better on Draft 209. Don't forget to check our sponsors, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, Zatuna Liquor, Michigan Beer Box. Of course, March Draftness starts tomorrow. Carrie, good luck against the new guys, Third Nature.
Good luck to them.
And that's going to do it. Again, guys, we are on Facebook.com/BetterOnDraft every Friday, 7 p.m. Interact, ask questions, and no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's... Better on Draft!